Welcome, dear friends, to the Message of Truth. This is Brother Fawn Miller, speaker on the broadcast, and we're excited that you've taken the time to tune our way. We're talking about the working of the Holy Spirit, and we've just asked the question, how did you get saved? Well, you got saved by grace through faith. It was the Spirit of God working, and we're going to look further at that. But we need the power of the Spirit of God in our lives in order to live the Christian life. And so that's what we're going to be talking about, looking at a number of portions of Scripture, seeing how God wants to work in our lives. And I trust that you'll follow along with us. This is a second in the messages, and I believe it'll be a help to you. Father, how grateful we are to know Thee as our personal Savior. How grateful we are that You've given to us the Word of God, that we need not walk in darkness, but have the light of Your precious Word. And I pray, our Father, that we might understand how You work within our lives. You've given to us the blessed Holy Spirit, His ministry within our lives, so that we might manifest Your life to this world all around us. Now guide and direct these lips of clay that we might speak those things that will be most helpful to each one listening. May somebody be saved. May Christians find revival in their heart and life through Thy Word. And we'll thank You for the results in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. One of my favorite songs because it tells the great message. It is still the blood of Jesus That gives victory to me. And beloved, if you're going to come to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, it'll be through the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son. For it is the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, that cleanses us from all sin. John said that in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. Now, we're talking about how we can have victory. We gave you four chapters, and I'll mention those four again, but not to go into detail on them. We mentioned to you 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, the great love chapter. How can I produce this kind of love? We talked to you about John chapter 15. How can I bear all this fruit that God expects me to bear? We may have looked at it, or we gave reference to Ephesians chapter 5. How can I have a marriage that is a love relationship? That's exactly what it's built on, love. And there's many aspects of love in those verses talking about the marriage ministry and reality. And then we talked about Colossians chapter 3. How can I live a separated life? Now, we've answered that question in one phrase. Only by the Holy Spirit of God. Go back with me to the book of Romans in chapter 7 with me for a moment. And in this chapter 7, and I don't have time to take the whole chapter. I wish you would read that. I want to just begin with just a couple of things. In verse 22, he says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Oh, wretched man that I am! Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? He says, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. This is Paul talking about his Christian life. He struggles in this. Earlier he would say, that which I would not do, I do. That which I would do, I do not. And his thought is, I am in a struggle. I am battling these two natures, the nature of God and the nature of self. Well, he comes then when he says in verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ. So then the mind, I myself serve the law of God, with the flesh, the law of sin. And then he goes right into chapter 8. And understand, these are letters, so they would not have been broken up in chapters. But this makes it easier for us to understand, and I'm not being critical of that. I'm simply stating a fact. There is therefore now, listen, he's come with this battle, this conflict, back and forth. He wants to do right, but too often when he wants to do right, he does wrong. Now he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, you notice he's talking about this relationship. It is a walking after the Spirit. Now, I will not take the time to go down and exposit each of these verses because it's, I'll tell you what, it would be well worth our time to do. We're trying to give you a capsule form of this. So go over with me to chapter 8 and verse number 9. Now, Paul is talking that his victory is in the Lord Jesus Christ, and to walk after the Spirit. And we certainly will look at some of those verses of Scripture. As we've said, the fruit of the Spirit is one fruit, nine manifestations of it, in Romans chapter 5 and verses 22 and 3. But look at verse 9 of chapter 8 of Romans. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. That's the first step that you and I need to realize. If you have actually called upon the Lord Jesus Christ, I did September 6, 1961. I don't know when you did it. You ought to know. Now, maybe you don't know the exact date. You can say I was at Christian camp. I was at home, and Mom or Dad led me to the Lord. I was in a church service. I mean, you might know the generality never thought to write down the date. Nobody ever thought to tell you to do that. Mine was a couple of years afterwards that somebody said, you know, Elwood, you ought to have your date down there. Well, I could easily pick it out, and I did. So the date, though, does not matter. The reality is what matters. Did you really ask the Lord to save you? If you did, then you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ be in you, you remember John 15, abide in me and I in you. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Then verse 11, but if the Spirit of him, that's Christ, if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. So our victory can be in the reality of the Spirit of God in our lives. We can accomplish the work God wants us to do. We can manifest those things that we've looked at in over there in those four chapters I mentioned. We can manifest those things because it is the Lord who does it through his Spirit who dwells in us. Now, I want you to look at something as a real blessing to my heart. You go to the book of 1 Corinthians. If you're familiar with the book of 1 and 2 Corinthians, this is Paul's message to a church that had struggled in their Christian life. They had struggled to put away the childish things. They had struggled to put away some direct known sin. They struggled in legal matters. They struggled in so many different things, wanting to say they were spiritual because they spoke in tongues, and yet they acted like a bunch of unbelievers in many other issues. And I don't have time to go there. But here's a great verse of scripture that Paul gives to this church. You find it right here in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. We'll see it again in chapter 3. He said, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Why? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, before we go back to 2 Corinthians, I want you to go back with me to 1 Peter. You see, that you bear scripture with scripture. Now, what did he say here in verse 20? He said, you're bought with a price. All right, let's go over to 1 Peter and chapter 1 and verse 18. For as much as you know that ye were not redeemed, in other words, bought with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers. Look at verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing ye purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit, and here's the evidence unto unfeigned love of the brethren. And see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again. Get this. In other words, being bought back, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And you're familiar with Romans in chapter 10 and verse 17, where it says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For all flesh is as grass, all the glory of man is a flower of grass. The grass withereth, the flower falleth away, but look at this, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. So very simply, the victory that we can have is because we have been bought with the price, the blood of Christ, but we have been bought by God's grace, and God has given to us that eternal life that can come only through Him. Now, I want you to see something else. We're talking about the Holy Spirit being within us. There are a number of other references I can give you. Allow me just to give you some references, and I'll not turn back there to them, because I am going to go to chapter 6 of 2 Corinthians. I'm going to go there after I look at chapter 3 for a moment of 1 Corinthians. But here are some references that I'd like you to take time to jot down and then read them and study them in this context. 1 John chapter 3, verse 24. Chapter 4, verses 13. And then chapter 5 and verse 6. And then, of course, as we've used 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19. But here in 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, before we go over to 2 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians in chapter 3, I want you to look at this very carefully. Notice Paul is talking to these believers, and he is saying now in verse 11, other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. In other words, that's the foundation of our salvation. Now, upon that foundation, now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it. For the day shall, it'll be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So he is saying that you and I are going to have our works tried. That will happen at the judgment seat of Christ. But he goes on to talk here for their understanding. In chapter 3 here, he says, now verse 16, but know ye not that ye are the temple of God, that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. So that Holy Spirit of God, He dwells within the believer. And here in Corinth, people who didn't look like they were saved had put their trust in Christ, had allowed the world to come in and rob them of many things. But they were still indwelt by the Spirit of God. He says, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So we're the temple of the Lord. We're the temple of God. And God works in us and dwells in us and leads us. So, beloved, we can live the Christian life. We can accomplish the things that we've looked at in, or the general thoughts of the chapters that I mentioned, because of the Spirit of God within us. Now, we're going to go more deeply into that in just a few moments. Now, a song, and then back to the Word of God.
Walking in the blessed light of Jesus' love, walking every hour, walking every day, walking in the strength He gives us from above, walking with Jesus alone, walking with Jesus, walking every day, walking all the way, walking with Jesus, walking with Jesus alone. Savior, keep me walking in the narrow way, walking every hour, walking every day. Save me from the tempter's fiery darts today. Save me, O Jesus, I pray. Walking in the sunlight, walking in the shadows, walking every day, walking all the way. Walking in the sunlight, walking in the shadows, walking with Jesus alone. by the river on the golden shore, walking every hour, walking every day, walking in the Savior's presence evermore, walking with Jesus at home, walking with Jesus, walking every day.
Amen. That's what we're talking about, walking with Jesus. Now, we're going to look a little bit further. We know that, first of all, the Spirit of God's dwelling in the believer. So, if we look at Ephesians in chapter 3, go back there with me, if you will, Ephesians in chapter 3 and verse number 17. And notice how Paul relates this to a very spiritual church. Ephesians is the church at Ephesus was not a carnal church as such. They were regular human beings, but they were seeking to live spiritual. And so in verse 17, well, let's go back to verse 16, that he might grant you, that is the Lord, might grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, and that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Now get this phrase, what is the breadth, length, depth, and height? And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. We did ask the question in the very first message, and that is, how can you manifest 1 Corinthians chapter 13, the love chapter, talking about the love of God and how it manifests itself through the believer? Well, here's what Paul says, that you might be able, by the Spirit that dwells in you, to comprehend the four dimensions of God's love. So he calls them to that. Now, when did the Spirit of God take up its abode in the believer? Because that's exactly what we were looking at. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. If you go back to the Gospel of John, and how precious this book is. We're going to be looking later on, not right now, but we're going to be looking later on at John in chapter 14, 15, and 16 in the operation of the Spirit of God. But that's not for today. It'll be for another message. But if you go with me over to the Gospel of John, and we'll begin at verse 20. And when he had so said, now you'll have to read the first part here, he showed them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them, again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And he goes on and says, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. That doesn't mean they had the control of the relieving the sin or putting it back on them. No, only the blood of Christ could cleanse them from their sin. But they could carry out that message of repentance to these people who were unsaved and who had trusted Christ. They could carry that message there, and their sins would be forgiven because they had presented the Word of God, and faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So the Lord breathed on them. So at salvation, the child of God has the Spirit of God within him. I want you to see that in Ephesians chapter 1. I think we need to establish this fact. So we go back to Ephesians in chapter 1. Turn back there with me. And in chapter 1, we read these verses found in starting in chapter 1, verse 13. In whom, now verse 12, he talks about we who first trusted in Christ. In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, now get this, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest. And that word earnest is the old English word for guarantee, absolute certainty, which is the earnest, the guarantee of our inheritance. And we've been given an inheritance that is incorruptible, undefiled, fadeth not away. You see that by Peter over there in the epistles. Until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. So we are sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, who dwells within us because we have put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. And so we are then made manifest that we are the child of God. Now, I want you to go back with me. I said we would look, and we're only going to have time to just touch on it, and we'll pick up next week on this. But in John chapter 16, you say, you turn this all over the Bible. Yes, I am. And in fact, we're not done yet. We'll be looking at a lot of portions of Scripture. You see, it doesn't matter what I say. Well, it does. It'll have some effect. But what I'm saying is, the truth that I'm going to present to you, I want it established by the Word of God, because I do not have the answers to these things except through the Word of God. Well, we're getting taken out of the area because of time. All that clock keeps moving too fast. Look at John 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. How can we live an effective Christian life? We can do it by the Holy Spirit living within us and bringing to our minds the truth we've studied and heard from the Word of God. We can be a spiritual help to you, dear friend. Please contact us. You might write to us at Message of Truth, 315 40th Street, Altoona, Pennsylvania, 16602. And we'll get back to you with the spiritual help that you desire. God bless you, my friend. This is Brother Fondeller.